Amen. Morning. It is good to be at the Lord's house this Lord's day.
Amen.
And talking to people about the Lord's word, about being a Christian, a thought came to my mind as I was preparing this lesson. And I'm going to read some of what I came up with. One of the greatest books that Paul ever wrote, everything Paul wrote is great, but I picked from the book of Romans and trying to teach people the truth of what God would have us to do as Christians. It reads, Paul's greatest work is placed first among the 13 epistles in the New Testament. While the four gospels present the word and works of Jesus Christ, Roman explores the significance of his certification, sacrificial death, using a question and answer format. Paul recorded the most systematic presentation, a book of partial exhortation. The good news of Jesus Christ is more than facts to be believed. It is also a life to be lived, a life of righteousness, benefiting the persons justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in his son, Jesus Christ. You can convince people that God's word is true, and yet they still want to stay in unrighteousness or believe something outside of God's word. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 28, we find these words. This is the New King James. And even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind. The King James Version says reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting. If you try to teach somebody the gospel, the truth, and they sort of believe it and don't want to believe it, but they believe something else that's not in the Bible, those people have a problem, because God's word is not going to change for anybody. It's going to always stand as it is. We are talking this morning about being a Christian 24/7, all day, every day, 365 days a year. We are to always be faithful, or have faithfulness. To who? To the Lord. Not to man, to the Lord. In the book of Galatians 2:20, and just about all these verses that I'm using this morning are self-explanatory, just about. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in his son, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is Paul talking to the people of Galatia, the church of Galatia. He says he has been crucified. He gave up another life for the life to follow Christ. For we know the old story of Saul, that when he persecuted the church, but he changed. When people hear the gospel and they are in a religion, they ought to change. They shouldn't argue about it, fuss or fight about it, because God's word is not going to never change. And they miss a lot, because the Bible is what's going to judge us in the end. If the Bible is going to judge us in the end, why not just live by it? It is our guide. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, still talking about our faithfulness to the Lord. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. My question to us, is it? It should be. For there is nothing better than what God had gave us, and he gave us his son. In John chapter 1, verse 5, 1 John 5, verse 11 to 12 reads, "And this is the testimony that God gave, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life." Eternal life is in the son. We got to remember now, in the book of John 4:16, Jesus made this statement unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if Jesus said it, it's got to be true. For we know the Son of God does not lie. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58, we find these words, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We ought to be steadfast as Christians. We ought to be firm, fixed, not changing, always focused on our Lord. For the Bible states we are peculiar people. We should be peculiar people. We ought to be different from all those in the world just because we are Christians. Titus 2:14. Also, we can read about that in 1 Peter 2:9. Being a Christian 24/7 should always describe us. It ought to describe our prayer life. We should always pray. In Luke 18:1, the Bible says this, "Then he spoke a parable to them," which was these disciples, "that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." We ought to always pray. Pray for everything. Pray always. Because God hears the prayers of the righteous. He does not hear prayers of a sinner. Romans 12:12 reads, "Rejoice in hope, patience, tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Every opportunity we get, we ought to always pray. Because God will listen to his children. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." We should always pray. That don't mean pray 24/7 constantly. Every opportunity we get to pray, we ought to pray, because we can thank God for everything that we got. But we ain't going to have it long. We came in this world with nothing, we're going to leave with nothing. So everything we got, we ought to thank God for it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, pray by supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ." Without Christ, we don't have anything. We don't have anything without Christ. So we should always look to Christ each and every day. And every morning we rise, we ought to thank God for that day. We ought to want for nothing. And we ought to have love for one another. As being a Christian. And 1 Peter 1:21 reads, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." We ought to love one another. Each and every one of us that is here this morning, we ought to love one another because we are a family. We are God's chosen people. And we ought to act like it. We ought to be closer. And we ought to get together more than just in this building. Amen. We ought to do events. You know, we ought to be closer, a lot closer than what we are. But let us continue to just pray for one another. Amen. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, we read these words from Jesus Christ. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do we have one love for one another? We are to. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are to walk like he's our elder brother and God is our father. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 reads, If some say I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he have seen, how can he love God whom he have not seen? And this commandment I give from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So we must love one another, because we claim that we love God. God we have never seen, yet we see our brothers and sisters every day. So if we love them, we must love God. Being a Christian 24/7, we ought to always contend for the faith. We should always contend for the faith. In Jude 3 reads, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning the common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." So we should always remember that God's word came to us once. God's not telling anybody anything outside of his word. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, it reads, "Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chain and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace." God's word is his grace. In Acts 20:24, we know that the Bible speaks of the gospel being the grace of God. And there is no greater grace than the gospel. It brought us back to Christ, which Christ will take us back to the Father if we are obedient children according to his word. We can know that we are his children just simply by following the word of God. 1 Corinthians 16:13 reads, "Watch and stand in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." And love starts with God. Amen. For God is love.
Yes, he is.
In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 13, we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We need all his armor to stand. For without all his armor, we can't fight the things of this world. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against power, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand." So long as we take God's word and take all of it, we can stand against the darts of Satan. We should always have a willingness to grow in Christ. But we need to grow. We can't stay babes all the time. In 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, we find these words, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." We need to grow. We need to always grow and be strong in the Lord. For if we don't grow, we're going to lose heart and we're going to lose faith. We should always have the willingness to grow. We should take on 2 Timothy 2:15. We should always study to do what God would have us to do. In studying, we will grow. If we study every day, we will grow. And we should always want our Heavenly Father to talk to us each and every day. And to do that, we must pick up his word and read. because it is the only way God is going to talk to us. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 reads, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." We should always give God thanks for what he gave to us. Amen. In the book of Acts chapter 20, and the verse is 32, read, "So now, brethren, I command you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God's word will build us up to keep us strong, that we will always keep faith and hope in his Son. But as we said earlier, the Son is the way back to the Father. In 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever." God should get the glory in what we do for him. We should want prestige or glory for ourselves. It should always go to God, for he is our Heavenly Father. Amen. We should always have a desire to grow, and we should always have a desire to want to go to heaven. Every Christian in here wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. Hell is not a place for Christians. Hell is a place for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for Christians. In 1 Peter 1:3-5, we read these words. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And we as Christians, if we live a faithful life, we can be raised from the dead to live eternity with God in the end. And that's where we want to end up at.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:16-18 reads, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." Talking about Christians. "Let the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more excellent and eternal weight in glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we haven't seen heaven, but we know that heaven is there waiting for God's children, because Jesus said he would come back for us, for all those who will love his returning. And for some, it is going to be too late, because they do not believe the word of God. They believe they can walk outside the word of God and be right. But if God's word don't teach it or show it, we cannot do it. We can't live by man-made opinions or what we think or how we feel.
That's
right. 1 Corinthians 5:1 reads, "For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." So one day this body is going to be destroyed, and we have a new body, a new house, and it's only going to come from God in the end. For the Bible tells us that we must live according to God's word and not according to the word of men. We must not use our own interpretation, but simply use God's word. As Melvin would say, put book, chapter, and verse on it. You do that and you cannot go wrong. We ought to be Christians 24/7, 7 days a week. Or do we turn our Christianity on and off like a light switch? We should not. We should always be faithful Christians doing what God would have us to do. we ought to always hear God's word, believe God's word, confess Christ, and be baptized and live faithful. Jesus said these words when it comes to her: whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and do them, I will show you to whom he is like. When it comes to belief, Jesus said, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. When it comes to repent, Jesus said in the book of Luke, the 15th chapter and the 7th verse, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. When it comes to confessing, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. When it comes to being baptized, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And Jesus also said, when it comes to living faithful, in Revelation 2:10, the latter part of it, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Amen. That is the invitation that was coming from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the one that said, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and to live faithful. Because people always say, well, give me the red letter. Those are the red letters coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So at this time, we extend the Lord's invitation to anyone that would like to come forth and put on Christ in baptism, or to request prayer. If it be your desire for the invitation, you may do so now as we together come and stand and sing the invitation hymn for this morning.